Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Madness and Civilization, A History of Insanity in the Age of Reason is Michel Foucault's first major historical and philosophical study. Originally published in French in 1961 and later translated into English in an abridged form. The book examines how Western Europe understood, separated, confined, and medicalized madness from the late Middle Ages through the 18th century. It is not a conventional medical history of psychiatry. Instead, Foucault studies the cultural, institutional, legal, and intellectual conditions that made certain forms of behavior recognizable as insanity. His purpose is to show that madness has never been defined only by neutral scientific discovery. It has also been shaped by social order, moral judgment, economic discipline, and the authority of reason. The book became central to later debates in philosophy, history, sociology, psychiatry, and critical theory, because it treats mental illness as a field where knowledge and power become deeply entangled. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, madness as a historical relation rather than a fixed medical object. Foucault approaches madness not as a timeless disease waiting to be correctly diagnosed, but as a changing relation between forms of unreason and the societies that named them. In the late Middle Ages and Renaissance, he argues, madness still had a visible place in cultural life. It appeared in literature, painting, religious imagery, and public space as something disturbing but also meaningful. The mad person could represent folly, moral warning, divine mystery, or the limits of human reason. This does not mean that medieval Europe was humane or accepting in a modern sense, but it had not yet organized madness primarily as a medical and institutional problem. The importance of this argument is methodological. Foucault asks readers to examine the historical conditions that make categories appear natural. If madness is defined differently across periods, then modern psychiatric language cannot be treated as the inevitable endpoint of progress. The book, therefore, shifts attention from symptoms alone to the social frameworks that decide which experiences count as pathology, danger, error, or silence. Secondly, the Ship of Fools and the symbolic exile of unreason. One of the most memorable images in the book is the Ship of Fools, a Renaissance motif that Foucault uses to discuss the movement and exclusion of mad people from civic life. The image combines historical practices of expulsion with literary and artistic symbolism. Mad people were sometimes removed from towns, sent elsewhere, or left at the margins of settled communities. For Foucault, this movement matters because it shows an early form of separation before the later rise of mass confinement. Madness was not yet locked into the medical institution, but it was already placed at a boundary. The ship is therefore more than a colorful detail. It represents a social geography in which unreason is both present and displaced, visible and unsettled. It also reveals the ambiguous status of madness in European imagination. The fool could expose the vanity of reason, but could also be treated as a nuisance or threat. Foucault uses this ambiguity to show that exclusion does not begin only with walls. It begins when a culture assigns certain voices to the outside of acceptable discourse. Thirdly, the Great Confinement is a merger of poverty, idleness, and madness. Foucault identifies the 17th century as a decisive turning point through what he calls the Great Confinement. In France and elsewhere, institutions gathered together not only people considered mad, but also the poor, unemployed, sick, sexually transgressive, and socially disorderly. This is central to the book because it challenges the assumption that confinement began as a specifically medical response to mental illness. Foucault argues that these institutions were tied to moral and economic discipline. They reflected a society that increasingly valued work, order, productivity, and regulated urban life. Those who did not fit these norms could be grouped together as problems of public order. Madness was thus caught within a broader system for managing deviance. The point is not that all confined people were treated identically, but that madness became newly intelligible through practices of correction, surveillance, and exclusion. This interpretation makes the history of psychiatry inseparable from the history of labor, poverty policy, policing, and moral regulation. It also explains why Foucault sees confinement as a political event as much as a humanitarian or medical development. Fourthly, the asylum as moral discipline rather than simple liberation, Foucault gives special attention to the emergence of the modern asylum and to reformers such as Philippe Pinel, who is commonly associated with removing chains from the confined insane during the French Revolutionary period. Rather than treating this moment as a straightforward victory of compassion over brutality, Foucault offers a more skeptical reading. He argues that the asylum replaced visible physical restraint with moral supervision, judgment, and enforced conformity. The patient was not simply freed into medical care, but placed within a space where silence, obedience, confession, and self-regulation became central. authority shifted from chains and walls to the gaze of doctors, attendants, and institutional routines. This argument is one reason the book remains controversial. Critics have argued that Foucault underestimates genuine reform and the recognition of mentally ill people as human subjects capable of treatment. Even so, his analysis is powerful because it reveals how humane language can coexist with new forms of control. The asylum becomes a place where medical authority and moral order reinforce each other, shaping both the patient and the definition of normal behavior. Lastly, reason defines itself by silencing what it calls unreason. A deeper philosophical claim runs through the historical narrative. Modern reason defines itself by separating itself from madness. For Foucault, the age of reason does not simply discover truth more clearly. It also creates borders around what may be spoken, known, and taken seriously. Madness becomes the negative figure against which reason establishes its own authority. This is why the book is not only a history of institutions, but also a critique of knowledge. Medical, legal, and philosophical classifications do not merely describe madness from the outside. They participate in producing a social reality in which certain experiences are deprived of meaning except as symptoms. Foucault is especially interested in the loss of a possible dialogue between reason and unreason. Earlier cultural forms could sometimes allow madness to speak through art, satire, or religious symbolism. Modern institutions increasingly interpret madness through expert discourse. The result is not simply better understanding, but also a narrowing of who can speak and what kind of speech counts as intelligible. This theme anticipates Foucault's later work on power, knowledge, discipline, and subjectivity. In conclusion, Madness and Civilization is best suited for readers interested in philosophy, intellectual history, critical theory, sociology, medical humanities, and the history of psychiatry. It is not the most accessible entry point for readers seeking a straightforward clinical history of mental illness. Because Foucault writes with dense conceptual ambition and often privileges interpretation over archival caution, its value lies in the questions it teaches readers to ask. How do institutions define deviance? When does care become control? How do expert vocabularies shape the people they claim to describe? These questions remain relevant to debates about mental health stigma, psychiatric authority, confinement, disability, and social normalization. Compared with standard histories of psychiatry, the book stands out because it does not present medicine as a simple march from ignorance to enlightenment. It examines the hidden costs of classification, reform, and institutional order. Compared with purely philosophical works, it stands out because its argument is anchored in practices such as confinement, asylum administration, legal exclusion, and moral discipline. The book should be read critically, especially in light of later historical objections, but its influence is justified. It changed how scholars understand madness as a cultural category and made the history of mental illness inseparable from the history of power, reason, and social exclusion. If you would like to support Michel Foucault, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.